Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Going on to our first reading today, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, and we find out here a little bit about Timothy. So we're focusing on Timothy today. We want to learn about him, and then in certain ways, try to pattern our lives after him. Notice what it says. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. Those are places located in modern-day Turkey. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance. In other words, they were bringing information to the people for observance. In other words, that they would put it into practice, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So keep in mind, we're in chapter 16. In chapter 15 of Acts, that's where they had the big meeting and came to some important decisions. So now they're passing on the decisions that had been made. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The word of the Lord. So what does it mean that Timothy was a disciple? Well, Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, he told about making disciples. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And then he told how to do that. He said, you are to baptize them and you are to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what are characteristics of a disciple then? Those are people who have been baptized into Christ, are learning what Jesus taught, and are putting into practice what Jesus taught. So a disciple, sure, Timothy was a disciple, yes, but are we disciples too? We are, because we have been baptized into Christ, we are learning more about what Jesus taught, and we are wanting to put that into practice in our lives. And then it noted in the reading there that his mother was a believer, but the implication, though, because of the way it's stated, the implication is that his father was not a believer. Yet, for Timothy, he was a believer, so that was a blessing. When we have parents who are not in Christ, or maybe one is and one isn't, it's difficult for the children. It's a wonderful thing when children can grow up in a household where both of the parents are Bible-believing Christians who not only believe the truth, but are living that truth, so they are modeling that truth for their children, impressing that upon their children, and the children follow in that same way. That's a wonderful thing. Timothy didn't have that, but praise God that he did grow up knowing Jesus Christ and continuing in him, because now Timothy is an adult, and yet he is still a believer in Jesus Christ. Also, too, note that Timothy was well spoken of by the other believers. So the other believers, they heard what Timothy said, they saw what he did, and they understood that his words and his actions, they were in harmony with the Word of God. They were in harmony with what Jesus had taught. So Timothy didn't go around saying, hey, I'm a believer, but rather with what he said and with what he did, he was demonstrating that reality. What about you? Would believers come to that same conclusion about you to say, yes, he is a believer. She must be a believer because of the way she talks and the way she acts. God wants us to be that way too. And then try to imagine this conversation that Paul must have had with Timothy as he thought about this idea of taking Timothy with him on his teaching and preaching missionary journey. Maybe Paul went up to Timothy and said, Timothy, you seem like a fine Christian man. You're the kind of guy I could use with me on my journey, and I would like you to come with me. However, though, in order for this to work out very well, I need to circumcise you. Can you imagine how Timothy was smiling about how Paul found such favor with him? And when he told him what had to happen before he could go, maybe Timothy had a different expression on his face. Maybe Timothy was thinking, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And now he's thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go with you or not, if that's what I need to do. But we know that Timothy went. And Timothy, I think, had that attitude that whatever was going to be best for the gospel of Jesus Christ, however we could go forward and not offend people, but rather bring the truth to them in such a way that God could open their eyes to the truth and unite them to Christ, Timothy was willing to do it. God wants us to be that way too. He wants us to have that kind of an attitude that we're willing to do whatever. I was just sitting at the desk this morning, and Kathy had gotten me this calendar where it has a page for each day, a quote on each page. So this is actually the one for tomorrow, but I happened to glance at it because I had already torn off the one for Sunday. But for Monday, this is a quote by Albert Schweitzer, and he wrote, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve." So here is Timothy, and he is willing to do whatever in order to serve his Lord. God has a purpose for us. God wants us to seek that out. He wants us to serve him according to his plans for us, and that way we can finally die in peace, knowing that we honored our Lord, knowing that we were a blessing to others, knowing that we have a whole wonderful eternity ahead of us because we know Jesus Christ as Savior. We now go on to our second reading today as we focus on St. Timothy today. So we find ourselves in the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. We're in chapter 6, picking up in verse 11. And this is what Paul wrote to him. "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." Naturally, we should ask the question, what things is he talking about? And that would be what he wrote about earlier in the chapter. But let me just jump back two verses in order to give you some of the significant part of what Paul wrote to Timothy about what he should flee. So we have it right there in verses 9 and 10. He wrote to him, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs," in other words, with many griefs, with many sorrows. So here is Paul saying to Timothy, so instead of pursuing money, Paul goes on and says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. And then he goes on to write to him, fight the good fight, or literally we could translate here, struggle the good struggle. So struggle isn't a bad thing. God wants us to go through the struggle that we have in life, and we have all kinds of them, but he wants us to go through the struggle in a way that is honoring to him, in a way that will be a blessing to us, in a way that God can use us to be a blessing to others. So we shouldn't be surprised when the struggles come of any kind, but we want to deal with them in a way that, again, is honoring to God, blessing to others, blessing to us. He goes on and tells him, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who, in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. The word of the Lord. So going back to the good confession, we're not certain what that means, but it very possibly is referring to when Timothy was baptized. Keep in mind that when people are baptized as infants, their parents are confessing on their behalf. When people are baptized as adults, baptism as an adult is a little bit similar to confirmation for a youth or for an adult. Now that person is confessing for himself. As we think about our confirmation vows, I took a look at them the other day, and some of the key things we vowed to hold to the Word of God, thus to continue to learn it and continue to live it, and we vowed to hear the Word and to receive the Supper faithfully. Now, vowing to such things like that, those are not vows that God is trying to push us into a corner and force us to do something that will somehow be bad for us. But these are vows, though, that as we really understand them, we will come to love them. We will understand that God is wanting us to do something that will ultimately richly bless us now and forever and also honor him. Notice the passage there in Ecclesiastes 5. Boy, we should take vows so seriously. The Bible says, "When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay." So we're not talking about making a payment with our confirmation vows, but our payment, in a sense, is to simply follow through on what we vowed. Again, it's a wonderful thing for us. Also, too, Paul, in writing to Timothy, he referred to the confession that Jesus made before Pilate. So that was a very tense time. Imagine, Jesus has been arrested now. He has already been beaten in various ways. The seriousness of the situation is as great as it can be, and yet, is he going to back down? Is he going to tell Pilate who he really is and try to say that he's innocent? Or is he going to make the good confession regardless of the consequences? Well, we know what he did. He did make the good confession even though it led to his crucifixion. So I believe Paul was encouraging Timothy to be the same way as he functions as a disciple in his life, and I think God wants us to be the same way too. We live in a world today that is more and more hostile to the things of God, but this is really a time in the world where more and more people are in need of hearing the truth about God and the good news about Jesus Christ. So may God help us to make that good confession no matter what the circumstances might be. And then it also talked about a particular commandment. Paul wrote to Timothy to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach and so on. But what commandment is he talking about? It's a little bit difficult to tell from the reading. But going to Dr. Kretzmann, he wrote, "The commandment is the sum of the entire body of Christian doctrine entrusted to him, entrusted to Timothy." He also added a little bit later that the gift of the pure doctrine is too precious to permit any careless handling. Since it is God's truth that sets us free from our sins condemning us, it is vital that we never lose or compromise that precious truth. May God help us in such ways. At this time, we do go on to our gospel reading, so would you please arise? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So Jesus is telling all people to stay spiritually awake, to stay alert. Is that something we can do on our own, of our own ability? We can't. If left to ourselves, we will certainly not be ready. So God is the one who is at work to keep us ready. Think about what it says in Philippians 1. It says, talking about God, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God is the one who began the good work in baptism by uniting us to Christ, and now God is continuing that work all the way through until the day of Christ Jesus. How is God continuing that work? He is at work through word and sacrament to keep us ready. So it's important that we follow our confirmation vows by being faithful in the reception of word and sacrament. And then he talked about being wise. So if we knew a thief was coming and we decided to go on vacation and let the thief do whatever, that wouldn't be very wise. But rather, when we are wise, we are ready for the thief, and we are even much more wise when God is at work in our lives to keep us ever ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that before we were in Christ, we could do nothing. We were dead in our sins. But now that God has made us alive, we are able to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can move us to turn off the television and to open the Word of God. Now, when the Holy Spirit does that, we can say, get out of here, Holy Spirit. I really like that television program. We could say that, but rather what God wants us to do is say, oh, I really wanted to see that program, but that program has nothing to do with my eternity, the Word of God. That's how God wants to work in order to build me up in Christ, in order to keep me ever ready for his coming, in order to equip me that if I have the opportunity to talk to someone else about the truth, I'll be able to say it better because I've just been in the Word of God. So God wants us to know that we have that ability to cooperate, and God wants us to take advantage of that. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we should not quench the Spirit. So think about the day of Pentecost and the tongues of fire on the heads representing the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is like a fire. So God is saying, hey, don't grab a bucket of water and throw it on the fire. Don't try to quench the Spirit, but rather God wants us to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. He wants us to hear. He wants us to follow. And then in regard to being ready, those who know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, we are ready. God wants us to know that is true. We have been baptized into Christ. We are learning what the Bible teaches, and we are putting it into practice. God is rejoicing in us being that way, and God wants us to continue in such things until finally we are with him forever. Let me conclude in this way. As Timothy was well spoken of by other believers, may that also be true for us. As Timothy was willing to do whatever to serve his Lord, let us do the same. Since we made solemn vows in our confirmations, may God enable us to keep them, knowing that they are best for us, they're honoring to God, and they will even equip us to be a blessing to others. And finally, since Jesus did not compromise the truth, let us also hold it at all cost and even proclaim it to others so that they might know it too. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.